Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to worship at New Dublin Presbyterian Church. Happy 4th. There's a lot going on this Sunday, so I'm going to keep the announcements brief. Note, please, the date for homecoming is the 25th. Vacation Bible School is the 27th. Is that right? The 26th through the 30th. And we have a treat next week. The Ely's sons, plural, will come. They're the Earliesville Bluegrass Band. And they're coming and they're going to play during our worship service next week. So by all means, come, because that will be a great treat. They're doing gospel music. Yes. Yes. It will be thematically appropriate. Yes, for worship. a quick introduction to the bulletin. As you know, they switch like this when we have outdoor worship and we need to include more things. The last two pages are your hymn. It's your hymn book for today. It's got the words to the hymns that we're singing. If you flip straight to the middle, you'll see the announcements. Otherwise, start from the beginning and go there. Communion is up here. We do ask that you take your bread and your cup from the little tray right here, preferably before worship, preferably right now, if you haven't already. You will have another opportunity to do so before we have communion, but ideally do it now. Is there anything else that needs to come to our attention this morning? Oh, there is. Newsletters are here. They're over there. Thanks to Jane Graham. They're looking beautiful. And your insert, there's an insert in your bulletin with a thank you letter that I definitely encourage you all to read. And thanks to everybody who's involved in that reading program. Now, if there's nothing else, let us prepare our hearts and minds for the worship of the Almighty God. Please join me in the call to worship. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the holy ones. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty as you are, O Lord, with your faithfulness all around you. The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours. The world and all that is in it, you have founded them. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you. Lord our God, we give you thanks that this morning you have invited us spiritually into your courts, into your presence, to offer you our thanks and our praise and our worship and our prayer. And we ask that the worship we offer would be the kind that is acceptable to you, free from distraction or worry, worship that is offered in spirit and in truth. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The first hymn is "I to the Hills." And again, it's the back two pages of your bulletin. scripture says that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and do not practice the truth. But if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins before God and one another. Merciful God, you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask your mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you, our God. Have mercy on us, O God, in your loving kindness. In your great compassion, cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and sustain us with your bountiful spirit. Amen. Friends, who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. Believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And be at peace. We have the great pleasure this morning to be dedicating our new shutters. And if you haven't seen them, I encourage you to go, they're just around here, and look at them. They're beautiful. They look pretty well like the old ones, but in much, much better shape. And they are dedicated to the glory of God and given in memory of Bob and Cornelia Dobbins and Dick and Martha Dobbins by Robin Dobbins. And they are beautiful, and we will be dedicating them this morning. So you will find that in your bulletin. Ideally, we'd go around where we could see them, but that would be technologically difficult, so we're not going to. But please join me in a responsive reading of part of Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, indeed it faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. They go from strength to strength. The God of gods will be seen in Zion. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than live in the tents of wickedness. Let us pray. Eternal, high, holy God, no building can contain your glory. Yet you have come to be with us in Jesus Christ, and by the Holy Spirit, you are present with us now. We dedicate these shutters to your honor and glory, and in memory of your servants, Bob and Cornelia and Dick and Martha. We thank you for all the gifts that have come together in the renewal of these shutters and of this building, the labor of many hands, the contributions of money, the planning and the commitment of so many that made it happen. Giving thanks to you and trusting in Jesus Christ, we dedicate these shutters in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, as we move to the reading and preaching of the Word, let us pray. Lord, we know that you gave us these scriptures for our benefit, for our learning, for the healing of our souls. And we give you thanks for them. And we ask that you would give us new ears and a new heart so that the familiar words we hear would strike us anew, that through them we would hear your voice speaking fresh to our spirits, and that what we hear would be written in our hearts, so that we may learn to live in your new kingdom. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. I'm going to remember to wear a dress with pockets one of these days. We are at the end, almost, of our series on the Sermon on the Mount. There will be today's sermon and next week's sermon, and then we're going to do something else. But today we are reading from Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 23. Hear the word of the Lord. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorns or figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and cast out demons in your name, and do many deeds of power in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Go away from me, you evildoers. This is the word of the Lord. I want you to imagine that you're in the grocery store. You probably don't have to work too hard at that. I imagine you're there most weeks. You're in the grocery store and you're going to buy some fruit. So you pick up a bag of apples and you get a good bunch of bananas, ripe but not too ripe. And then you get to poking around the peaches. Now, I'm a South Carolina girl, and I know very well that a good peach is the closest you're going to get to heaven this side of death. I know it. But these aren't those kind of peaches. They're hard as a rock. They're still a little green in places. It's probably best to leave them for another few weeks. But as you turn around to finish the rest of your shopping, your neighbor behind you scoffs at you and goes, ah, well, that wasn't very Christian, was it? Those fruits are doing their best. You wouldn't do any better if you were a peach. Well, probably not. That would be really weird. I hope your neighbors aren't that interested in your produce choices. But I bet you do hear that kind of statement all the time. All the time. It seems like you can't say a single thing that has even a hint of criticism in it, justified or not, without someone coming out with something along the lines of your weird neighbor in the grocery store. They're doing their best. It isn't Christian to judge. You wouldn't be doing any better if you were in their shoes. This defense, line of defense, seems to apply to politicians, whether they're noticeably Christian or not. It applies to fallen celebrity pastors in their churches. It applies to Christian music bands. Almost anything, really, if it bears any kind of relationship to Christ or Christ's church. A lack of criticism becomes a virtue, even if something is clearly, obviously wrong. Well, of course it's true that Jesus says not to judge. We read it a few weeks ago. He tells us not to condemn, not to delight in the sins and failings of someone else. But in the section that we read today, he also warns us to pay attention. Because he says that not everyone who claims the name of Christ, not even everyone who claims to lead Christ's church, they're not all true disciples. It's a serious warning. And just in case we get too interested in a kind of Red Scare McCarthyism where everyone is suspect, he reminds us that the warning is for us too. We, too, are warned here that it is easy to not follow Christ, but to follow a different way. The warning is for you. The warning is for me. There are two ways, he says, of claiming the name of Christ, and only one leads to the full reality. It's not intuitive for us in this time and place to talk in binaries like that, to say that there's only two ways. It feels harsh, it feels old-fashioned, it lacks nuance, it seems to us. It seems to fail to recognize the reality that there are as many ways as there are people. And of course there are a lot of ways. But to Jesus, it all boils down to outcomes. There's one way to life, and that is Jesus himself. The way of the disciple to eternal life is through exactly that, being a disciple. And all the other ways, as different in some respects as they may be from one another, all of them lead to death. And so for Jesus, it's one path. We're nothing if not imaginative in the ways we destroy ourselves. The details of the various ways that lead to death, the ways they're different. Jesus isn't interested in that, although we might be. He's got a laser focus on outcomes. They all might as well be one. One wide, beautiful, attractive path full of self-gratification. The path of least resistance, the one that leads easily and gradually to disappointment and death. And there's another way, he says, the way of discipleship that's harder, that's explicitly self-denying and self-mortifying, explicitly a humble path that honors God above all and others more than self. Maybe it sounds noble, but it doesn't sound fun. It's definitely less attractive. But Jesus promises that nevertheless, it alone is able to lead us to a fuller, more satisfying, eternal life. It's not enough, Jesus is saying, to have listened to this sermon that he's preached to us over these last few weeks and just nod in idle approval. Now is the time to act, he says. Now is the time to choose your path. And of course, as we've said over and over again, we don't walk the path alone. The church, as imperfect as it is, as much as it will drive you nuts sometimes, is the way that God has chosen to help us in the task of figuring out how to find and how to walk on the narrow path, the difficult but rewarding path to eternal life. Church, after all, is God's gift to us. But even here, even in church, Jesus tells us to be alert. Because not everyone who's a leader in the church, not everyone who claims to speak for God or who says they have a message from God actually does. Not everyone who looks from the outside like they've mastered that narrow path actually has. There are people who speak falsely in the name of God, as I think we found out the hard way over the centuries. Some of us have experienced it more personally than others, and if you know that pain personally, I'm sorry. You think someone is there to help you. You think they're there to love and serve Jesus. But after a while, maybe gradually, you realize that they're really there for their own benefit. They think they can get something out of the church. Maybe money and fame for some, but more commonly, power or authority or respect. They claim to be interested in God, but are really interested in what they can get for themselves. Jesus calls them disguised wolves. They look like a sheep, but really, they're there to eat and not the grass. We've had occasion several times to notice that Jesus is not sentimental. He's not even sentimental about his own church. But Jesus doesn't leave us at the mercy of those wolves. He gives us a clue. He tells us how to recognize them. Now we're back with the peaches in the grocery store. Just like the hardness of the peach, its texture, the color, even the way it smells can tell you that that peach is not any good, their actions over time will betray what's really in the heart of a person, a church leader, even you yourself. This is why we engage in self-examination, so you notice when your own fruit isn't what you might hope it was. You can say anything you want. The church leader can make excuses to their heart's content, but the fruits of our life, in the end, he says, reveal what's in our heart. It's not what leaders look like or claim to be like, but the things that they do, the produce of their manner of thought and life, that's going to bring what's really in their heart to life. Take note of their actions. Don't be charmed by their words, and you will recognize them for what they are. It's not a matter of condemnation. It's not the kind of judging that Jesus forbade a few weeks ago. He's not contradicting himself. Instead, it's a form of wisdom that just recognizes what is, rather than speaking into someone's fate. So we don't say of someone we think is a false leader, they will go to hell. We don't speculate on people's fate, right? It's not our job, and we are not wise enough to do it. We are not the judge of the world, thanks be to God. But we can say that they are not producing fruit in accordance to what they claim. And on the basis of that judgment, we can stay away. Will other people try to shame you and tell you that you're being judgmental and anti-Christian? Yeah, probably. That's the way people are like. But don't let that deter you from taking the warning of the Lord seriously. Notice the fruits of the people who claim to lead the church and act accordingly. But that's not the end of it. Although maybe we would be more comfortable if it was. That's not the last of Jesus' solution for the people who take advantage of his church for their own benefit. And perhaps one of the more haunting passages of Scripture, it is for me, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. That's a serious warning. When God wants to warn us, he warns us. And I would not be a faithful preacher if I tried to soften that warning. God will not live forever with wolves among his sheep. An outer covering, an outer costume, an excuse will not deceive him. He will not let the good and bad be mixed together forever. He won't put up with it. He will not let the wolves continue indefinitely to terrorize the sheep, even in the name of patience and mercy and tolerance. And that can be bracing, to put it mildly, but in the end, it's good news. When the wolves are shown to be what they are, when God rids his flock of them, then the sheep will be safe. He is, in the end, again and again, the good shepherd. And even though the way is narrow, he isn't setting us on it alone. He's going to lead his sheep through all those dangers to the table of eternal life. We get a foretaste of that feast today, a promise, a hint like an engagement ring of what's to come. And we will not be eating at that table alone, not then and not today. He is with us and will be with us to guard us and guide us all the way home. So to the God of all grace, who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish far more abundantly than all we can ask or think, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen. Please join me in the affirmation of faith, which you will find in your bulletin. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The hymn is God of Our Fathers.
Thank you.
communion elements and you need someone to bring them to you, would you please raise your hand? Brothers and sisters, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. They will come from east and west and from north and south to sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and blessed and broke it, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Do not come to this table because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Not because any of us by our own merits is righteous, but because we all stand in need of the forgiving grace of God. Do not come to assert an opinion or to claim to be right, but to celebrate a presence. This is the Lord's table. Come and eat. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father of mercy and God of all comfort, we acknowledge you to be the Lord, and at all times we honor your greatness and your glory. First, because you created us in your own image and likeness, but chiefly because you freed us from the enslavement of sin through your only Son, from which neither mortal nor angel had been able to make us free. You gave Jesus in love to be made man like us in all things except sin, that by his death and resurrection he might bring again life to the world. Lord, we are not able to understand the breadth and length and height and depth of your love. But true to the commandment of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we come to this table which he has left us to be used in remembrance of his death until he comes again. Here we declare and witness before the world that by him alone we have received liberty and life. By him alone you claim us as children and heirs. By him alone we have access to your favor freely shown. That by him alone we are raised into your spiritual kingdom, there to eat and drink with you and the Son at that most joyful table of eternal life. In this present time, we on earth have communion with you in heaven. But in the time to come, we shall be raised to that endless joy prepared for us before the foundation of the world was laid. We acknowledge that we have received these precious gifts by your free mercy and grace through your only Son, Jesus Christ. Moved by your Holy Spirit, we, your congregation, give you all thanks and praise and glory, now and forever. Amen. On the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus took bread. And having given thanks for it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink of it, all of you." The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." Jesus also said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Cut off from me, you can do nothing." Let us pray together. God of grace, you renew us at your table with the bread of life. May this heavenly food strengthen our souls in love. And may the earthly food we will eat together strengthen our bodies in your service. We ask this in the name of Jesus the Lord. Amen. The hymn is "Christ is Made the Sure Foundation." Reminded from the prayer, we are having a 4th of July luncheon after worship in the fellowship hall hot dogs and watermelon and all sorts of delicious things. So you are absolutely invited to that afterwards. And we will have a beautiful arrangement of God Bless America from our musicians over here to transition us into that time. But may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.